A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm welcoming myself and whatever audience we have back to PSO Baseball. We have MLB podcast coming back at you. It's Nick. Chasey J is ramping this bad boy back up. We took some time off. A little disoriented, but I'm back. We're back. So follow us on Twitter and Instagram at PSO Sports 1 and then Pointless Sports Opinions anywhere else. We also got a website, pointlesssports.com. Go there, see what's up, learn some more about us. But like I said, it's Nick back with you. It's been a hot minute since we've done a baseball podcast. And I'm back to you talking about things that I like or I think are interesting. Just trying to go around the MLB landscape, showing you guys what's going on and, you know, the biggest storyline so far. So I'm just going to jump right into it. The New York markets are flourishing, folks. Yankees and the Mets. What is this, 2000 again? Mets leading their division 22-11. They made those big offseason moves. You know, they got Scherzer. They traded for a pitcher from the Athletics, Bassett. They signed Marcana. They signed Starling Marte. Steve Cohen, the owner, said he was out to spend money. He spent it, and it looks like it's paying off with that 22-11 record. And the Mets are out to a 6.5-game lead over Philly and Atlanta. Disappointing starts for those two teams. They're 15-17. Ronald Acuna Jr. is back and bopping for Atlanta, and Philly's got... We'll see what Philly's got. They added some guys in the offseason, too. Castellanos and Schwarber. And they still got the MVP of last year, Bryce Harper. And speaking of Harper, guy cannot throw a baseball for a month. Tore his... There's a little tear in his UCL. So we're happy. Baseball world is happy that the NL has the DH because Harper can still swing the bat. If you guys remember Shohei Ohtani doing this a couple years ago when he got Tommy John, he still came back pretty early and got to swing it. So they're going to be relying on him. Early start to the season, folks. It's 30-plus games in, if that. So we're kind of watching New York kind of dominate the Mets. Really good team. Scherzer looks good. I just love Max Scherzer, everyone, and he's making out like a bandit here. But and let's talk about the Yankees here while we're at it. They're 23-8, 4.5 games up over the Tampa Bay Rays and 6.5 over Toronto, who was, you know, the kind of the darling coming into this offseason. Coming into the season from the offseason. Boston's 11-20. They're in the cellar down there. They're the second worst team in the AL. They are struggling. Okay, third worst team if we're doing winning percentage wise. And they made the playoffs last year, so what's going on there? We don't know. Like I said, it's early. Toronto 17-15, finding themselves, but everyone but the Yankees has a negative run differential in the AL East, and it looks like the Yankees have the second highest run differential in the MLB, the highest in the AL. They have a plus 60, so they're scoring runs. Judge is off to a great start. Giancarlo's doing his thing. And stalwarts like they've had for a couple years. It looks like Glaber's having a better year. Looks like Gerrit Cole finally learned how to pitch without the sticky stuff because he's been lights out here lately. Nestor Cortez coming out of nowhere being really good this year. So it's looking good for the Yankees. Stays healthy. Keep hitting the ball. Rizzo's having a really good year. He's saying it feels like the 2016 Cubs, if that means anything for you guys. But Yankees look like they have that offense, finally. That consistent offense that we haven't seen for a couple years in a row now. But baseball world loves it. We love seeing those New York teams being great, and we love seeing... I like seeing the storyline of the Mets kind of... They're messing around and saying they're going to be good, which is, you know, the Mets are going to met, maybe. But they look good, folks. And I don't... I mean, Washington's bad. Miami's... What are you going to expect out of them? Probably not much. And Philly is kind of like the new Mets. Philly's going to Philly because they've been spending money, but we don't know where they're going, so I'm not sure. And then Atlanta, they did have a slow start last year, so we'll see what happens when everything settles. Like I said, we're a fifth of the way through the season, so it's going to take some time to figure it all out. But next big thing I wanted to jump to, so you got those teams on the East Coast and the New York market leading their respective divisions. And then we can go all the way to the West Coast. Dodgers, 20-10, playing great. They have the best run differential in the MLB at plus 76. Bad news dropped today. Clayton Kershaw is having a rebound year. He's going back on the DL. What's new? He was a stud going in. What do you have? Five starts. He's 4-0 with 30 innings pitched and five starts. He has a 1.8 ERA. He looks like the Kershaw of old. But their rotation, I think their whole pitching staff is lights out, 2.48 ERA as I read this today. Walker Buehler's looking like he's the next big horse. Obviously, we've known that, but he's taken over that mantle from Kershaw being the ace. Kid is on fire. I mean, I think he's the most winningest pitcher ever in his first 100 starts. He just doesn't lose. He's also been blessed with this great team. Julio Urias also looking like he's going to be a stud. He had a great year last year, looking like he's keeping it up. But this is their starters through 5-6 games. Buehler with a 1.96 ERA and a 2.02 ERA plus. Urias with a 2.1 ERA through 6 starts, 1.89 ERA plus. Kershaw, like I said, he's only had 5 starts and he just hit the DL by 1.8 ERA. And the ERA plus is 2.21. So if you guys don't know what that is, it's just a metric to measure how much better you are than league average. So league average for ERA plus is 100. So, I mean, all these guys I've mentioned so far are, you know, much, much better than league average. And then Tony Gonsolin, he's been in that rotation bullpen on that staff for a while. In 6 starts, he's got a 1.33 ERA with a 2.99 ERA plus. I mean, these guys are just pitching lights out. And if you remember, they traded for Craig Kimbrel right before the season started. He's looking like he's the Craig Kimbrel of old. Looking good. Dodgers, not worried about it. And then Freddie Freeman, new place he's playing. He's still being Freddie Freeman. 890 OPS. He's got a 310 average. This guy's going to always hit. Big move for these Dodgers to get him. Mookie Betts turning on as of late. Cody Bellinger started hot, not so hot at the moment, hitting 205, still striking out a ton. But season's young, like I said, 30, 35 games in, and they're the second best team in baseball, so I'm sure they're not necessarily too worried right now, especially when they're leading the division. Right behind them are the Padres, the Fernando Tatis-less Padres, but they got some dudes being studs. There's a front runner in for MVP on this team. His name's Manny Machado. He's leading the league in so many offensive categories, at least the NL. I mean, he's got the his WAR for position players is a 2.8, leading the league. His batting average, he's hitting .383. His on base is .460. He's slugging .625. His OPS is a 1.085. Awesome. This is the Manny Machado that I know he's capable of, and he's not been bad in the past couple of years, but he's really looking like he's turning on finally. Just being up the cog in this lineup that's going to keep hitting and keep being great. Let's not forget about Eric Hosmer, man. He got that big contract, and he hasn't been bad for the Padres. This is year, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is year 5. He's hit .269 for him average-wise, and he's been a pretty good, a little bit above average offensively. But he's looking great. He's hitting .367 with a .434 on base and a .985 slugging. OPS plus, that's another metric that league average is 100. He's hitting, his OPS plus is 193, so he's well above league average. And I think that's one of the reasons why they're so good at 20-12, a game behind the Dodgers. And then Joe Musgrove looking great. We kind of saw him do some big things over the past couple of years, that no-hitter, I think, last year. And then they're trading for Sharon Manaea. He's been good for him so far. He's been good, not great. But Mackenzie Gore, rookie they got, 23-year-old kid, he's looking great. 5 starts, 2.42 ERA. He's striking out a batter an inning. And he's, I mean, he's his walk rate's a 3.1. Get it down, kid, get it down. But he's looking good. His ERA plus is 154. Mike Clevinger, remember he got traded a couple years ago from Cleveland to this team, the Padres, and he was hurt. So this is his first start in, since, what, 2020, 2019. So let's see what his season looks like. If he's good and he can be a big piece and the pitcher he was before Tommy John, watch out, Dodgers. You got this guy coming for you. Yu Darvish is still here. He's up there in age. He's 35, but I'm sure you will be striking guys out. He'll probably have a sub 3.75 ERA, and if that's your fourth or fifth starter, goodness. And then they traded for Taylor Rogers in the offseason, twin brother of, I think, Tyler Rogers from the submarine guy from the Giants. This dude's been on fire, man. He has 12 saves and 13 games. He's got a .71 ERA. He's unhittable right now, so that's been looking like a great, great trade so far. And their team ERA is 3.68. That's nothing to scoff at. They're looking good. And so these Padres look like they're ready to rock and roll. And just think what happens when Tatis comes back and if Machado and Hosmer can keep it going. I'm excited. And they got Luke Voit, too, struggling. But let's see what happens with these Padres. They're chasing the Dodgers. It's been a thing the past couple of years. And then right on the heels of the Dodgers and Padres, the Giants, the 107-win Giants last year. Gabe Kapler still making every move possible. This team's still performing really well. Posey retired in the offseason. They're still chugging right along. Without, an offensive superstar, they don't have anyone that's lighting the world on fire, but they're still going right along. Carlos Rodon signed him in the offseason. That guy's been great. He's got a 2.23 ERA plus with a 1.8 ERA and 6 starts. I think he's striking the world out. Yeah, 53 strikeouts in 35 innings. And they have a great bullpen as well again. I mean, and it's that team again without a superstar like the Dodgers have Freeman and Bellinger and Trey Turner and the Padres have the Machados and they have Tatis Jr. sitting there waiting to come back. But who's the superstar on this team? I could say Carlos Rodon, but their bullpen's really good. They have a 3.42 team ERA. They're just not scoring tons of runs, but they're making a count when they do, and they have a lights-out bullpen. So exciting to watch these two teams. Arizona's 17-15. I don't know what's going on there. I thought they were going to be in the cellar. I think they were one of the worst teams last year. 52-110, so they lost 110 games last year. But I don't know. There's proven people wrong. They have some insane pitching going on right now. Mad Bum in seven starts. He's got a 1.78 ERA. Zach Gallen, who was a stud a couple years ago, in five starts, he's got a 0.95 ERA in 28 innings. I mean, that's going to go up, but that's a sub-1 ERA through five starts. Merrill Kelly, I think they extended him this offseason. He's got 42 innings pitched and a 1.71 ERA. I mean, they're just getting performances from their starters that are keeping them afloat. 17-15, I don't really believe anything is going to happen with it, but it's nice to see them not necessarily tanking. So it's a cool story, but are they going to last? Probably not, but we'll see. They're not in last place, and 16-15 are the Colorado Rockies. We're going to assume that Arizona and Colorado are going to bring up the bottom of the division. I got sidetracked here in the NL West. One of the things I was really excited to talk about was the LA Angels. Went off to their best start in a couple years, it feels like to me, if I can remember. But they're 21-12. They're a half game behind the Houston Astros. Houston's in fuego, ladies and gentlemen. They have a 21-11 record. They've won 10 in a row. And they've caught up with the Angels. But I think this Angels team is here to stay. Led by who? You guys know who. Mike Trout having a tremendous bounce back season. Looking like Mike Trout of old. We haven't seen Mike Trout a lot over the past 2 years. The 2020 season, he played 53 out of 60 games, but that's never enough. And then last year, he played 36 games, which sucked, because you don't want to see this guy hurt. You need to see him play every single day, or at least as much as possible. But Trout's off to a great start. OPS plus of 249. He's hitting the shit out of the ball, the cover off of it. 9 homers, 19 RBIs. Slugging 1.188. And the funny thing is, it's second on his team. A kid named Taylor Ward, he's got a 1.199 OPS plus, so he's just tearing the cover off the ball, hitting a lot of doubles and homers. This dude's got 4 doubles, a triple, and 7 homers, hitting 367. He's got the OPS plus of 254, right above Mike Trout's 249, so he's well above league average. I don't know how long this is going to stay, but Jared Walsh is playing fine, playing good. He's above league average. They got Tyler Wade this offseason. I don't know if it's from the Yankees or not, but I think it was from the Yankees. But he's been serviceable at second base. Anthony Rendon, he got paid that big contract a couple years ago. He's not been very good for them. His first year, the 2020 season, the shortened season, he was solid. Last year, really struggled offensively. Hit 240. This year, he's under 200 right now, and 29, 30 games in. And I don't even think I've mentioned the most exciting player on this team. Everyone knows who he is. Shohei Ohtani. 6 homers, 21 RBIs, 5 stolen bases. He's only slugging 445 and an OPS of 762, but his OPS plus is 125, and I keep on saying 35 games in. We're going to see Shohei mesh. What did he do, 40-something home runs last year? 46? I don't doubt he's going to hit another 35 to 40 this year. Oh, and can we always never ever forget that he's the ace of the staff as well? He's 3-2 through 6 games with a 2.78 ERA, 46 strikeouts, and 32 and a third innings. He's got the ERA plus of 1.35. Noah Syndergaard having a great season this year. 5 starts, 29 and a third innings, 2.45 ERA. Like to see him strike more guys out, but ERA plus of 1.53. And remember, this guy was a Cy Young contender for the first couple years of his career. Was that good? When he could stay healthy, but he hasn't had a healthy year. I mean, 2017, he had 7 games started. 2018, he had 25. 2019, he had 32 games, but wasn't great. probably a little below league average. 2020, he sat out all year with Tommy John. 2021, he had two games appeared in. But they got him this offseason, and, you know, it's a big piece in the rotation if they need it. Patrick Sandoval, we saw him last year a little bit. He is starting off pretty well this year. Five games started in a 2.03 ERA. This is what the Angels have not had in years, a solid rotation. And it's looking like they have this built together finally. Led by Shohei, Noah Syndergaard's a good piece. Patrick Sandoval's a young kid, they get up. And then storyline of this week for this Angels team, Reed Detmers comes out, a rookie, I believe, 22-year-old. He threw a no-hitter earlier this week. It was awesome. Threw like 105 pitches, and that's a crazy amount. But he came out here and threw no-hitter this week. First one of the season. He's 2-1 with a 3.77 ERA and six starts. And if he could be, the five guy? So, I mean, he could be a huge piece for this rotation as well. They're really relying on Shohei Ohtani and Noah Syndergaard. And if Patrick Sandoval can keep it up, that's huge. Then you have Reed Detmers throwing no-hitters, and then Michael Lorenzen, if you don't remember that guy, he's kind of a two-way player. I'll put quotes around that. He played a little bit in the outfield and hit for the Reds, and he was also a reliever. The A's are giving him a chance to start. So we'll see where that experiment goes. He's always good out of the bullpen. He throws some heat. But they have a good rotation, too. Their Staffiera is a 3.37 from bullpen and rotation. So I'm excited. This is my team to watch. Seattle is off to a very disappointing start. They are 14-18. Mitch Haniger's out. Their big guy who hit a lot of home runs last year. Eugenio Suarez and Jesse Winker are struggling. Suarez is hitting .202. His OPS plus is above league average, but he's still struggling. Jesse Winker struggling hard, an 81 OPS plus. He's got one home run and 113 at bats. They just sent out one of their star prospects, Jared Kelenic, down to the minors. He's back in AAA today. He was, oh my goodness, threw 30 games for this kid and 86 at bats. He had three home runs, but he's striking out 36 times. That's probably a 33% strikeout rate. Hitting 140, slugging 291, OPS plus of 54. So, I mean, he needs to, I guess they sent him down to get some work done. Julio Rodriguez, their other stud 21-year-old, you know, prospect, he's up. He's performing right around league average, but he's stealing bags. He's 10 for 11 in stolen bases. He's holding his own at the plate, hitting .254. If we can see this kid continue to be great, and steal bases, and it looks like he's striking out a lot, but, you know, get hits and don't be a liability to your team like Kelenic is. He could stay up, but I'd say the big storyline for this lineup is Ty France. He's having a career year. Five home runs, 24 RBIs. He's hitting .325 with a .399 on base, 166 OPS plus. And then J.P. Crawford's also, I mean, he's been great for them over the past few years, still showing that while he was a talented top prospect, he's hitting .333 with a .419 OBP. His OPS is .953. He's kind of the solid rock in that lineup.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique. And your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
And then Logan Gilbert's been really good for him. 2.13 ERA and 38 innings pitched with a 169 ERA plus. Robbie Ray, offseason acquisition. They signed him to a contract. Struggling a little bit. 41 strikeouts and 42 and two-thirds innings pitched. He's 3-3 with a 4.22 ERA. Marco Gonzalez is still there on that team. He's been there for a long time now. He's playing well enough, doing well enough. He's 1-4 with a 3.91 ERA and 6 starts, but I assume that'll probably be good enough for them. They need Robbie Ray to get together, and they need a fifth starter to kind of pop out and appear to be good. They just called up a kid, one of their prospects, George Kirby. He had his MLB debut last year, I believe, or last week. He debuted last week, and he had, I think, 6 innings pitched of no runs and 7 strikeouts, so that could be the fifth piece they're missing. Their staff ERA is a 3.84, but we're going to see what happens with these guys. Texas, all those big the Rangers had those big offseason acquisitions of Corey Seager, Marcus Semien, and John Gray. Marcus Semien struggling mightily. A 165 batting average. His OPS plus is 35, guys. That is not what the Rangers need out of him. Corey Seager's been picking up as late. He leads the team in home runs with 7, it looks like. I don't doubt Corey Seager. He's always been a solid player. But this offense is not producing. It looks pretty tough. Their run differential is only -5, but they're 13-17. And the offense doesn't look like it's particularly great. I don't see anyone standing out. But they need Semien to pick it up. They need Corey Seager to be better. They just need guys to produce because it looks like they're struggling hard. In the rotation, Dane Dunning looks like he's been solid. John Gray struggling a little bit. 4 starts only with a 5.51 ERA. Martin Perez, I believe they picked him up from the... Well, he was... I don't know where he's pitching. Boston last year, apparently. If you can remember this long ago, he started in Texas for his first 7 years. He's back this year with a 2.1 ERA, 6 starts. I don't know if he'll be able to keep it up, but they need guys to eat innings and be good. And we'll see what happens there, but disappointing start. And then Oakland, we kind of knew was going to be in a rebuild mode. But I'm really trying to see. And the last two we have are the AL and NL Central. We'll go with the AL. Detroit's 9-23. That is not what we... That's not what I thought they'd be. 9-23 is bad. They were 77-85. They overperformed last year, I thought. And, you know, they signed Javi Baez. They got Eduardo Rodriguez this year. They traded for Austin Meadows. But, you know, young kid Spencer Torkelson was coming up. One of their top prospects. Tucker Barnhart, they traded for him. Barnhart's been really good. For a catcher, sorry. But they don't... Man, I don't know what happened to them. Their run differential's a -42, so... I just don't know how they're 9-23 when they had such a good year last year. But... Tarik Skubal's been good. 6 starts, a sub-3 ERA, and an ERA plus of 124. They got Michael Pineda still there. He signed a 1-year deal. Eduardo Rodriguez, tough start to start the year. 4.5 ERA and 6 starts. Looks like he needs to get it going a little bit. He was their big money. He's their big money. Eduardo Rodriguez is their big money pitcher. They paid him a lot, but he needs to be better. But Skubal looks like he's taking the next step. So that's exciting for them. So we'll see what happens here. 9-23 start, it's going to be hard to really come back from that. Kansas City 10-19, not looking great. We kind of didn't think they'd be great. They were 74-88. I'm sure they'll be right around there this year. Zach Greinke's back playing well. Salvador Perez hit all those home runs last year, but it's not looking like it's translating to much this year. He's hitting 200. Andrew Benintendi looks like he might be a nice solid trade piece. Excuse me. Bobby Witt, their young stud prospect, he's struggling. He's got an OPS plus of 62. He's only hitting 211. We'll see what happens. It's only, like I said, a fifth of the way here. But what happened to Whit Merrifield, guys? He's been one of the most consistent premier hitters in the last couple of years. He's hitting 162 with an OPS plus of 22. I have no idea what's going on with this guy. One home run, a 198 OBP, and a 214 slugging. He is in need of something, but he looks bad. He looks really, really bad. And as for their starting staff, Zach Greinke's here. 267 ERA and 6 starts. ERA plus of 144. And Brad Keller, been on the team for a couple years now. Yeah, I think this is year 5. He's got a 143 ERA plus. Brad Keller's got a 143 ERA plus and 36 and 2/3 innings. So he's looking like he's figuring out. And I think Greinke's there for a reason. He's there to help these younger pitchers out and kind of give that experience. And I don't think he's done pitching by any means. Man, he's throwing 63-mile-per-hour EFIS pitchers, and he's still doing well. So I love watching Zach Greinke do his thing. He's a Hall of Famer in my mind. So, but we're going to see what happens with this team because they're another couple years away. Cleveland at 15-15, they started off hot, and they started off offensively really well. But we're not sure exactly what to expect of them. Josh Naylor's been on fire for him. Andres Jimenez has been good. Jose Ramirez looks like he's rebounding. Not rebounding. He's continuing his success from last year. Young guy named Stephen Kwan gets on base a lot for him. Rookie at 396. OBP with a 298 average. So, I mean, they got guys who are pretty good. They're above league average. Owen Miller coming out of nowhere. I think he's just a utility guy. He plays everywhere. Doing really well. OPS plus of 187. They're 15-15, but it looks like their starting staff kind of leaves more to be desired. Cal Quantrill, a 393 RA in 34 innings. Shane Bieber has a 4.13 ERA in 32.3 innings. The only guy in their rotation who's got an open... The only guy in their rotation who's got an ERA plus that is positive, that's above league average, is Tristan McKenzie. His is 133. He's got a 276 ERA. He's got 5 starts, 29 and a third innings. Strikeout inning guy. So I like to see this kid. He's got some flair. He looks fun. He looks like he's their next big ace because the Indians are somehow... the Indians somehow were able to pull off this run where they were able to, you know, Corey Kluber... Trevor Bauer, Clevinger was there. They had a run where they were just able to pick guys up and reanimate them or draft kids and who were great. So we'll see. Aaron Civale, who has been in the rotation a couple years, last year he had a solid year. This year he's got a 9.45 ERA in 20 innings pitched. That's not good. But it looks like their rotation is struggling as a whole. But... bullpen looks solid for the most part, but it looks like that's one of their big holes is their starting rotation. Because, I mean, you show me this lineup with the only guy I know you would know maybe is Jose Ramirez if you're just a casual baseball fan. But some guys are putting up some plus numbers, and their run differential is still it's a plus 10. And then the White Sox at 15-15 as well, and then Minnesota is 18-14. We're going to see what happens with this team. Byron Buxton looks great. Miguel Sano starting off poorly, really bad. He's on the IL. Carlos Correa says he likes it there. He's starting okay. He's hurt, got hit in the hand. Gary Sanchez traded for him in the offseason, struggling. But I'm just trying to see. Joe Ryan starting off really well in their rotation. But their rotation looks like it's struggling as well. Run differentials for them is only a plus 7. We're going to see how that goes. But Trevor Larnach, I've heard the name. 25. He's playing really well for me. He's their primary left fielder. He just won the IL, it looks like. So, and then as long as Byron Buxton can stay healthy and they get a nice supporting cast around him with Correa and Jorge Polanco and Trevor Larnach and, you know, maybe Max Kepler doing some good things, and they can get a solid starting rotation, they got some guys on the IL right now. Chris Paddock, Dylan Bundy, Bailey Ober. I mean, those 3/5 of their starting rotation right now is hurt. So we're going to see what happens here. And then the White Sox, 15-15. Tim Anderson's doing his thing, dude. All this dude knows how to do is hit. He's got a .333 batting average. So we're going to see him keep going. Luis Robert, looking good. Kind of waiting for him to explode. And then Eloy Jimenez hurt right now. I mean, those two guys are the guys we thought would carry this team, along with Jose Abreu, who's struggling right now. Like we said, it is early May. We're a month and a week into the season. But dealing with injuries right now, it looks like, because Andrew Vaughn currently hurt. Yoan Moncada just came off the IL. He's played in 3 games, it looks like. So we're going to see what happens here. Their bullpen, Liam Hendricks struggling to start the year, but their bullpen looks pretty solid. Dallas Keuchel looks awful. 6.86 ERA in 21 innings. Giolito looks like he's doing really well. Michael Kopech, oh my gosh. Six starts, 29 innings. He's got a .93 ERA, strikeout an inning. And then Dylan Cease, we saw the flashes of brilliance last year. 7 starts, 38 innings. He's got 58 strikeouts, ladies and gentlemen. That is insane. But if him and Kopech can be good, and Giolito, who is the ace of this team, and then if they can get one more guy who's a solid starter, they have Vince Velasquez as their 4th starter. We'll see what happens there. This would look to me a team that they're going to make a trade or something like that. Or they'll plug in someone that they have on the team into the starting rotation. Like, if you guys remember Reynaldo Lopez, he might go in there, but honestly, I think they're hurting for Carlos Rodon. So the White Sox, we'll see what happens with them. They're, you know, the darlings from last year. Tony La Russa did manage a crappy game last night, but we'll see what happens there. I don't know. And the last team we're going to talk, last division we'll talk about is Central NL. Milwaukee is leading that. They're getting their best production out of Corbin Burnes and then Eric Lauer, if you can believe that. Brandon Woodruff having a really rough start to the season. But Corbin Burnes looking like he's following up on his year last year. 50 strikeouts and 38 and 2/3 of an inning with a .186 ERA. Eric Lauer coming off of a good year last year, but in 5 starts he's got 29 and 2 innings. He's got 29 and 2/3 innings pitched with 42 strikeouts, ERA plus of .223. He was good last year, but he's got a 1.82 ERA. And if you can imagine, if we can get Freddy Peralta and Brandon Woodruff on the same page and get them starting like they looked to last year, that's a scary rotation, probably the best in the league. And they still have a stud of a closer and Josh Hader. Devin Williams looked like he got roughed up a couple times, but you know what he is with that airbender changeup. And then it's looking like they have some offense this year. Yelich looks like he's bouncing back. A .139 OPS plus. Not the same Christian Yelich we saw a couple years ago during his MVP run, but looking good. But they're getting production, like Roddy Tellez is their primary first baseman. He's got an OPS plus of .135. He's slugging .528. He's got 27 RBIs leading the team. Willie Adames had that big year last year coming over. struggling a little bit. OPS plus is still above league average, but he's hitting 215. But he's got 23 ribbies. But obviously, they want more production out of their big guys, and it looks like they're hopefully they're probably going to make a move in the trade deadline as well. The Brewers look like a team that will make a trade at the trade deadline as well to maybe add to a piece to this offense. But my goodness, that starting rotation is frightening. They look very good. 29-plus run differential. Second on this central is the St. Louis Cardinals. They're 17-14 with first-year manager Ollie Marmol. Their story is, they're not getting enough offense out of their team, very inconsistent. Nolan Arenado looks like he's having a really good MVP-esque season so far. OPS plus of 185, he's got a 974 OPS. Hitting the ball hard, tearing the cover off the ball. But guys they were really relying on to make that next step. Tyler O'Neill thought, he was an MVP candidate last year. He's hitting 200. He's struggling hard, 72 OPS plus. Paul DeJong, we've seen him struggle the past couple of years. He's been, worse. He's got a 25 OPS plus. They actually just sent him down to the minors to figure his stuff out. Dylan Carlson hitting 225, 86 OPS plus. Yadi Molina hitting 221 with an OPS plus of 51. Offseason acquisition, DH, Corey Dickerson struggling. Albert Pujols has been, he's hitting 209, but he's there to hit lefties, not righties. Juan Yepes, kid that just brought up, he's tearing the cover off the ball and 30 at bats. He's got 12 hits. He's got three doubles and two home runs. He's hitting 400. And then we'll see probably Nolan Gorman in the future. But the big offensive pieces that are really keeping this team afloat are Nolan Arenado, Tommy Edman, and Paul Goldschmidt. This team's going to need more production. And when we go to the rotation, Miles Michaelis is having his bounce back year. When he first came to the Cardinals in 2018, he was solid. He looked like he was ready to take that next step, and he was great. 2019, he had a good year, not great. And then 2020 and 2021, he's been injured. And in 2020 and 2021, he's been injured a lot of the time. This year, in 7 starts, he's got 42 innings pitched. He's got a 1.49 ERA. 255 OPS plus. Adam Wainwright in 6 starts, 34 innings, a 3.18 ERA. His ERA plus is 120. This dude's still producing. Fireballer Jordan Hicks is still in that rotation. Jack Flaherty still working his way back. But Hicks has been solid. He's got 4 starts and 16 and 2/3 innings pitched. He's usually only going 4 innings tops. Dakota Hudson's bouncing back from injury last year. Steven Matz, their big off-season acquisition, struggling. A 6.4 ERA in 7 starts and 32 and a third innings. Struggling mightily. He's allowed 6 home runs and 7 starts. He's probably got to keep that ball out of the ballpark. And then they've got some really good bullpen pieces. Here's probably the thing you've never heard of. They have the best reliever in baseball in Ryan Helsley. This dude's not been healthy the past couple years, and he finally is. Last week, he threw the fastest pitch of the season at 103 miles per hour. He's got 8 games, 10 innings pitched, 20 strikeouts in 10 innings, 0 walks, 1 hit, and that's a cool 0 ERA, folks. So you're seeing this guy really do well. But Cardinals, offense is their issue, and then their offseason acquisition of Steven Matz not looking great. Pittsburgh is 13-18. Cubs are 11-19, and Cincinnati are 8-24. Cincinnati started 3-21 or something like that. Awful. They've gone 5-5 in their last 10 games, so that's better. But Votto was struggling. Hunter Green, their young fireball and prospect, struggling. It's just Cubs not doing great. I know that they had the guy from Japan, Suzuki, Seiya Suzuki, I think, and he off to a raucous start, but he's kind of settled back to earth. He's still playing really well, but French Wendell, who had a nice showing last year, not doing well. And then, I mean, bullpen's in shambles. Not bullpen, I apologize. Bullpen looks fine. Their starting rotation doesn't look great. And it's just, we can go into the Pirates and the Reds, but this NL Central is a tough team. But this NL Central is a tough division. Delete that too, Chase. This NL Central is a weak division, so it looks like it'll be Milwaukee and St. Louis. But as we look at it today, the Mets are going to take the East. The Brewers will take the Central. The Dodgers are on top in the West. And then we have three teams in the wild card, I believe. I believe that's what it is. If I'm wrong, strike me down and tell me I'm stupid. But the Padres, the Giants, and the Cardinals are the other three teams that would make the playoffs. And then the AL, we have the Yankees winning the East, leading the East. Minnesota leading the Central, and Houston leading the West. It looks like we'd have the Angels, the Devil Rays, the Rays, and the Blue Jays as the other three playoff teams. But I mean, I'm not quite sure what else to talk about, but Machado looks awesome. He's the front runner for the NL MVP right now, and I'd say Trout is the AL. As for the best pitchers of the season, it's hard. Verlander's having a great bounce back year. He's got a 1.55 ERA in six starts with 40 and two-thirds innings pitched. I can't believe he's back doing his thing at however old he is, 38. I don't know if he'd be my front runner for any. I don't know if he'd be the front runner for the AL MVP for me, but he looks good. Paul Blackburn, this is Baseball Reference War, leads the AL in pitching war. I don't know how. He's solid, four wins and six starts. He's 4-0 and a 1.74 ERA. His OPS, this is pitching. Scratch that, Chase. His ERA plus is 201, so I mean, he's probably just a trade prospect. He's a trade candidate. And then it's looking like for the Pablo Lopez is first in ERA for the Miami Marlins in the NL. He's got a 1 ERA. He is 4-1 in six starts and 36 innings pitched. They have a good staff down there with Alcantara and Jesus Luzardo and Trevor Rogers, who aren't doing great, but they have a nice young starting core. Alcantara and Pablo Lopez are both 26. Luzardo and Trevor Rogers are 24. It's just, I think bright things are ahead for them, but they need to figure it out offensively. But I don't know. Walker Buehler or Kershaw or Scherzer, it's kind of a toss-up right now for the NL Cy Young. But I think that'll sum up this first MLB podcast for PSO. Thank you guys for listening. We'll try to get one out for you every week. Shout out to Chase J and I think Nasty Nate Tringali and Caleb Reardon still doing this. So I'll try to get with you guys every week. See ya. Have a good one.